SpecRite allows us to centralize our spec data in an easy-to-use and searchable platform, puts everyone on the same page with up-to-date information, and helps us to adapt quickly to business needs and sustainability reporting.
Hey, today's podcast is brought to you by Myers Printing, which happens to be where I work as a senior vice president, and coincidentally is the best sustainable printing company in the entire United States. Myers is a third-generation family business on a mission to create a sustainable future for people, products, and our planet. We're proud to help the important work of the United Nations at COP28. For more information about Myers, the awesome products we manufacture, and our commitment to sustainability, click the link below in the show notes or reach out to me on LinkedIn or just through the Substack app. Join Myers in building a greener future, one package at a time.
Now is the time to go beyond recycling. SmartSolve pioneers certified bio-based water-soluble packaging technologies that empower consumers and businesses to effortlessly reduce plastic waste. Their non-toxic materials quickly and completely disperse when combined with water and agitation, thus making them easily recyclable, biodegradable, and even zero waste. If zero waste packaging interests you, you can contact them at info@smartsolve.com, info@smartsolve.com. This is some really incredible technology. I'm excited to see where it goes. Thanks to SmartSolve for sponsoring the podcast.
Live from Studio 3, this is Packaging Today with Evelio Matos, Adam Peel, and Corey Connors.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Monday. We got Adam Peek, packagingfashion.com, pastor of packaging, people of packaging, and you've gone down to Waco, and I think how's your cult meeting going?
It's good. As you can see, I'm prepared.
Yeah.
For whatever happens. I'm feeling good. You know, we've got the eclipse coming up, and you know, Waco is obviously also known for other things. So I feel like the jumpsuit, I've got some matching shoes. Just, you know, you gotta blend in. You gotta
fit in, right?
So yeah, and also this is really helping with the blue light.
No light.
Yeah, you can't see anything, which is, you know, it's kind of like all my keyboarding, you know, you find the thing, the little bumps on the keyboards,
and then
you just type away and
hope for the best.
yeah, but it's been awesome. My eyes are feeling way better actually since I've been wearing these.
Nice. Yeah. All right, man. So Packaging Today show. Today we're talking about sustainability, myths, truths, BS, sustainable. We're just gonna get in here to kind of talk about it, help you kind of understand what sustainability is, how to make your packaging more sustainable, how to look at some of the options that are out there and kind of decide what makes the most sense for you and what is actually sustainable versus sustainable shit. All right. So my name is Evelio Matos, host of Packaging Unboxed. We're missing Corey. Corey is, he's on assignment. Somewhere.
I love saying that when it's just basically like
we're not home. We're not at home.
No one. Yeah. I mean, we're always on assignment. Yeah. Corey is at, he's in Wisconsin at the
cheese festival.
I hope he had some cheese curds. He is at the Pack Out, I think is what it's called. I don't know. A bunch of college students.
Oh, that's right. He's at the Pack Jam. I think it's
Pack Jam. That's what it is. Yeah, Pack Jam.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So if you haven't noticed, Corey is way more popular than Evelio and I are. He is, you know, he's always out doing something. And we do a few cool things, but
we do. I've decided this year I'm gonna do less.
Yes.
I'm committed to less this year.
Well, I'm not going to be alive after today. So I will be on a rocket ship boarding a comet and pretty soon. So yep. It's been really great. It's been really great to know everybody. I'm going to be working on packaging on the planet Nerfulon.
That's right.
And I've heard that their sustainability is not great. They are.
That's why they called on you.
The Nerfulon people are. Yeah, no, they are. They're definitely struggling with EPR, and they don't call it greenwashing because they don't have the same like color spectrum as us. But I'm bringing my Pantone book just to introduce.
Just in case.
Yeah. Just in case that I got to do some matching of, you know, translating of the Nerfliani color schemes to Americans. So
that's yeah, right.
It was awesome knowing everybody.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good.
So. Just so Adam can take this back to his home planet. Let us know where you're watching from.
It's not my home planet.
Sure it is. It's just they're calling you home. You're going back.
No. You have it all. This is embarrassing. But
all right, let's get into some sustainable packaging. All right. So the big thing that's happening now is greenwashing. You mentioned EPR. Just give us a quick explanation of what EPR is for anybody that's tuning in that might not be familiar.
Yeah, so EPR is a mechanism by which the government, either local, state, or federal, is, hey, what's up, David? Watching from Dallas. Make sure you have your glasses on. You can head south, get some kolaches, and join the rocket ship. So anyway, it's a mechanism for the government to sort of force or a tax or tariff, whatever the language you want to use, responsibility for the use of certain types of packaging back onto the producers of the goods. So let's say there was a quote, I think it was Ronald Reagan said, if you want less of something, tax it. If you want more things, subsidize it. And so if you want, for example, if you want less plastic, then you tax it. And if you want more paper, then you subsidize it. Wait, Avelio.
Yeah,
I can't.
You better put your glasses on because it's we're full.
Did you just get eclipsed?
I did. I got eclipsed. But it should take a minute just to come back here, right?
Okay, hang on.
You ready? We're going to watch this thing take off.
Nothing's happening. To me.
Perfect. EPR.
So it's basically
what does it stand for?
Extended producer responsibility. So it's putting the responsibility and extending it onto the producers of the goods. Mm. And so there's various EPR schemes, which isn't a bad word. It's just what's being used. Yep. It's all state level right now. It's very confusing if you're international. You have to deal with the ban on single-use plastics in Nigeria. You've got you've got all sorts of different things in the UK and France, and then you've got Colorado. Hey, Chris, Colorado is another state that's going to have an EPR law, so it's very tough for brands right now to figure it out.
Yeah, well, actually, they're making it easy to pay. They're making it hard to understand, right?
Because
I'm getting a lot of brands now that are reaching out, going, "Hey, we just got hit with these fines for this product, you know, whatever it is," and you know they're measuring out the amount of plastic per. If you're doing like say retail bags, like the handle, it may be poly, like a satin poly or something like that. So they're getting taxed for the handle weight versus the gross weight of the bag itself. And like, we didn't know we were going to get taxed by this. So how do we overcome that? So they're making it super easy to make it, John's watching from your home planet. He's ready. He's there already.
I don't know. I don't recognize those numbers. That seems like fake news.
But in Europe, it's pretty standard at this point. Brands are already paying, and they're paying different rates at different countries and different areas. But yeah, in terms of collecting the money, they're making it super easy. In terms of you as a brand understanding how to avoid some of this stuff, not so clear.
Correct.
Right. And that's what, where we're kind of running into brands rushing into greenwashing, whether it's on purpose, on accident, because of packaging suppliers. You know, who knows? Every brand wants to make money. And if sustainability is the kind of the trend, then maybe they're going to jump into that to get on the bandwagon. But like just recently, Nike was accused of greenwashing for some of their products. Judge disagreed. So that got thrown out. So Nike won that they were not greenwashing. Currently New York is suing the biggest meat company out there for greenwashing. And we're seeing more brands being sued for greenwashing. And these are lawsuits that can be brought on by consumers, pretty much by anybody. So as a brand, it's really important to make sure that you understand what's going on. So how do we understand? So how do we understand what we're doing as a brand and what materials we're choosing and why we're doing this? So let's pick a couple different products. And Adam, you kind of tell me like, how you would get started, right? If we're doing, first, say,
we need to start with Luke Frazier's comment because I don't understand what a crispiest audio video setup is, but
that's all right. I have the crispiest audio setup.
What is crisp? I don't 100%. This,
congratulations. Oh, you're freezing. Luke.
What?
You froze. So you don't have the crispiest audio.
No, definitely not. Not in Waco. Not a few hours before I leave the planet.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So
green. Let's pick some products.
Okay.
All right. So, let's talk about if we're doing water, right? If you're doing water in packaging, what would be the most sustainable? What would be the first step?
So I start with the most, maybe not overlooked, but the least sexy part of sustainability, which is like, how is it going to protect the product and what is it you're trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like shelf life is often something that is, or, the quality of the water, right? So does it need to have certain barriers? Is there a certain film? How is it going to be shipped? Where's it going to end up? What's the purpose of it? That kind of stuff. So it's hard to just say like, what's the most sustainable way to package water? It's probably in a hose from your backyard. I don't know. I mean, because anytime you start shipping water and you start packaging it into smaller things that are, you know, sort of single use, you're probably already taking a step away from the most sustainable source of water, which is just, I don't know, the well. Whether or not clear PET or aluminum or boxed water, or they're all going to kind of fight to say like, well, ours is the most sustainable.
Yeah.
And I think there's not.
So you're saying if you're really looking for sustainability in water, then we shouldn't have to package it because it's available.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, but also I have appreciated, for example, when I've gone to India and have been told we don't have the greatest, you know, clean water facilities. Like you're not even supposed to brush your teeth with the water that comes out of the faucet. It's good for cleaning hands. I've appreciated in those circumstances having water available. But I do think a lot of that from when it comes to water is a cultural shift away from single use, just having water bottles, and back to the other thing. But on the other hand, right, like Stanley cups are everywhere. So it seems like this weird thing where everyone's buying Yetis and Stanleys, and there's this big growth of that. And then you also have the growth of canned water and boxed water. And it's like, man, we sure are drinking a lot of water, or at least we're buying a lot of it.
Well, here's a post from, I don't know how else to say it, right? But somebody that people in packaging love to hate.
Is it me? It's me.
It's not. Not. Hang on. This post here from.
Oh yeah.
From Chris. From Krista Armit, right? And people, man, how do I get this in here to see it? Krista Armit, you know, talks about this liquid death post here, which, you know, they're focused on murder your thirst, and killing plastic, right? But one thing that they don't make any reference to is the fact that there is still plastic in aluminum cans, right? That aluminum is infinitely recyclable, which it's technically not. But then the fact that it's completely plastic free and that it's eliminating plastic, right? So technically, this could be construed as greenwashing.
Yeah.
You know, because it's saying one thing, but the reality is something completely different, right? And that kind of goes back to the point of greenwashing and what your messaging is, right? And I think, you know, the point that you're making about water being available, putting it in cans or putting it in boxes. You know, I spoke to the Box Water is Better company a couple of years ago, and their big claim was, well, we can put it in cans or bottles, but now you're shipping air, right? Because if you're shipping this cases of this that are empty to go get filled, it's not sustainable. You know, when you put it in the boxes, it collapses. You can ship those. It takes like one container versus four containers for the same amount of product packaging. Then when you fill it, then it's the same thing. The fact that it's square, it collects better. I'm not a fan. I don't think box water is better. It's actually worse. The taste is worse. But then you can't recycle it because that material has like multiple layers of fiber, plastic, aluminum, you know. So then it's unrecyclable, even though there's claims that it is recyclable, but
yeah, I have yet to find anybody that does it. 60% of U.S. households have the opportunity to recycle it. And you can go, there's a website, I can't remember.
It's like Tetra Pak.
It's like Tetra Paks, yeah. And also, you know, that's a little bit misleading because yes, when you ship the flat boxes in, but there are plenty of water, like big water bottle filling facilities that just buy the preforms of the PET and then they actually mold it on site. And so they mold it and then they fill it. So if it's going to be the transportation, it's like, well, they're probably getting 100 to 1 in some of those things relative to your, whatever the number is.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what I would say. It's all hard for me to say like definitively this is greenwashing. Unless you're saying this is an aluminum can and there's no plastic in it, and I'm not going to say raw dog in the aluminum again. Okay. I'm not going to say it. Right. You're not going to catch me slipping on that one again. All right.
So that's water, right? So water,
yep.
look at where your source is, look at the different materials and really consider the claims. As the brand, you're the one responsible for making the claims, not your packaging supplier. Packaging supplier's job is to sell you packaging, right? Plain and simple.
Yep.
There's good ones, there's bad ones. That's kind of the way that it goes. But their job is to get you into packaging. Your job is to make sure that you are making the right claims. So if somebody's saying like this is plastic free, like is it actually plastic free before you put that on your packaging? Don't just count on them. There's ways to determine that. Reach out to us and ask us if that's like your last resort. All right, so that's a wet product. So then what if we're talking about let's talk about shoes, right? So Nike was just sued for greenwashing. So if you're going to package shoes, then what's your process there, Adam? Like, what should somebody be looking at? What should they be considering?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to hear me saying this a lot, right? Because it is kind of brand specific. There's a whole bunch of stuff going into it. There's a lot of unnecessary packaging in the shoe industry, and I've seen a lot of it because I am part of the problem when it comes to sustainability with footwear because I own a lot of shoes that I don't need. You know, so shame on me. But
how many shoes do you own?
I don't know.
Over
80 to 90 pairs of sneakers, I guess.
Wow.
I actually just had a moment the other day where I was like, I need to get rid of all these. So I'll probably sell a bunch of them. And that's part of the issue actually with packaging is there's this whole other secondary market that people don't understand about shoes, which is you people like me do buy them as an investment. If you buy them for $200 and you retain the packaging and everything that came with it, and if you don't wear them, you can hold on to them for 6 months and sell them for $500. So the packaging does play a pretty critical role because the packaging is also part of the product. For 99% of the other shoes, though, I think, you know, things like the, I don't think you really need to have the paper inside of it, sort of like wrapping it. There's like the paper that gets stuffed into the bottom of the shoes. We've got, I think there's a lot of unnecessary packaging that from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Just a box is probably going to be just fine. But again, I've never seen a shoe manufacturing facility. I don't know what the reasons are for that stuff to be in there, but I do think there's some overpackaging that's in there. And quite candidly, I don't think there's a lot of more sustainable material options than just fully collapsible paperboard.
Yeah. So like, all right. So if you're talking about shoes, how are shoes packaged, right? There's always a tissue that goes around them, helps protect them from dust because, you know, dust can stain, dust can create issues. It also creates this unveiling that we've all become used to since we were little kids. Like, I don't know, I'd go to Tom McCann and try on some shoes and then to come in that tissue and you're like, oh my God, it's new. Then there's either like a molded fiber shoe form that goes in there or it's stuffed with more tissue, right? So it's more packaging and more packaging, especially now when people don't want any creases in their shoes. Like, you have to have these things in there. Then there's the corrugate box that it comes in, right? Typically it's a corrugated box. There are some that are like chipboard, folding board boxes. But then I think the big issue is when you order that stuff online, now that box is going into another box. And I think Nike did, one of the things that they did was they created their shoe boxes to be a little bit more sturdy so that it can be used for e-com as well. But people didn't like that because their shoe box would arrive dirty with labels and it was kind of a mess. So I think part of it too is what's consumer expectation, right? Because consumers want, we've done a terrible job in packaging and brands of training the consumer that the box has to be in pristine condition to validate the product versus the packaging is what's going to take the beating, get to your house to protect the product. The product's in pristine condition. Who cares what the box looks like, right?
Right.
Now we put boxes inside of boxes to protect the box that's protecting your product. And that's where we start kind of escalating how much packaging is there. So it's a little bit about communication too. I know
that's a great point.
One of the, I can't remember what shoe brand it was. Remember you and I bought these sustainable shoes and it came in one box and it was like pretty straightforward. And that was a pretty decent unboxing. You know, you don't have to have layers and layers to do that.
Shoe packaging. I will add though another change that Nike did that I thought was great is that they have an auto bottom shipping box with a return tear strip on the inside of it. So the auto bottom is nice because you're supposed to flatten out your boxes before you recycle them, and so you don't have to like rip the tape off.
Hold it. Yeah.
Yeah, you just go shook and you collapse it down and then you can recycle it. So, there are some innovations, but I do want to address the shoe creasing thing because I think that that's another stupid thing. Yep.
I just saw a new sock that you can buy like on one of my feeds and it has a pocket on top. And then you put this pad of foam in there because it pushes the shoe out so that it doesn't crease.
Yeah, there's certain shoes that it's like, okay, yeah, maybe don't, you know, if you're trying to retain the value of them, but if you're just going to wear your shoes,
just wear your shoes
like a regular person. Anyway, yeah, that's a great point though on the packaging not being taking the shots.
Yeah, it's crazy that we expect packaging to be perfect. Luke's asking as brand design decisions go, are users really buying based on sustainability and ease of access?
I think it's the latter. That's my personal
ease of access.
I just think that most people will buy something if it's convenient. That's going to drive a decision. And then there's a book called The Righteous Mind. And the author, Jonathan Haidt, talks about how people are emotional elephants being driven by a small intellectual driver. Mm-hmm. And so if it feels good, if it feels easy, if it's a quick purchase or something like that, then we'll do that versus the intellectual part of like checking the ingredients or looking at the claims and, you know, finding the FSC information. There are people who do it. I'm not saying that everybody's like this, but in general, people are just going to go to what's easy, what's quick. And that's my general opinion on it. Do you have a different one?
Well, when I think of ease of use, I think of, a conversation I had with the Arthritis Foundation, where for somebody that's having a hard time opening pack through, you know, arthritis or any other reason that they're having difficulty accessing product, when they find a product that allows them to access it, like, they're super loyal. Like, they're not going to shift to the next product because it's cheaper. They're going to focus on the one that is easier for them. I'm looking at like what Microsoft did with the adaptive controller and how easy that box was. Again, like, these things do matter in terms of ease of use. I know with older generations, like how to, like, people over 40, like how to tear into some of these like stand up pouches. Like, some of those things are impossible to get into. You got to get scissors out. These people do buy based on that stuff, more so, I think, than sustainability.
I'll give you an example of that. Sustainability is nice, actually.
But it's not
so
great.
There's a product that comes in a stand-up pouch, and it's a creatine, and they switched to a monomaterial curbside store recyclable material. Like, it was, I think it's an all polypropylene material, but it's hard to tear it open.
Yeah.
Like, I hate it. And so I tried it a couple times, and I'm like, I mean, you can tell I'm on a lot of creatine.
Yeah, you can't even open the bag.
Yeah, but it's not that. It's just that it's like it doesn't open cleanly, and you always got to go out and get scissors. And so I was like, I'll just try something else, and I switched to the rigid container because I was like, this is easier to, you know, the price point was a little less expensive, and
yeah, people care about access. Matt makes a great point here. You know, product should be the focus, sustainability, right? Like, the packaging is such a small percentage of the overall volume of the product that if you make a better product, that's going to outweigh any, you know, the packaging for the most part. Yeah. We got here from Tom Skrinan from Richmond, VA. Shoe packaging, green scanner, download the app. Oh, he's selling something. All right. So then if we talk about apps, there's Scrap, which is an app that actually allows you to scan barcodes and it'll tell you what is and what isn't recyclable.
It'll tell you if it's recyclable
in your area.
In your area, right? But there's a whole database that's being updated constantly. So it may or may not show in your area, mm-hmm. but yeah. Scrap. I mean, I'm happy to check out Thomas's, you know, green scanner app. That's fine. I don't mind people coming on here and sharing what they're working on. But yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It's consumerism. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine how many AirPods are purchased because somebody loses mm-hmm. them.
Right.
Or they break down. Those things, I mean, sorry, Apple. They must break every 5 months on purpose. I feel like there's always, like, I have teenagers in the house, and so I was like, oh, my AirPods are broken. And I'm like, well, you have to go get a job now. Right. You don't need these things. But it's crazy. They get lost or broken all the time. So just making better products.
Yeah, good point, Matt. Yeah, definitely don't mind you coming on here if you've got some good solutions to post. I'm just not going to read anybody's stuff as ads.
No, I understand.
So real quick, just some of the myths that we hear out there in sustainability. I think one is aluminum is infinitely recyclable. Right, that claim in of itself isn't true.
Well, I did talk to somebody. I had Brandy Parker mm-hmm. on, and we talked about that a little bit. And, you know, she said, well, the reason is because it's an element mm-hmm. in the periodic table. So, you know, where plastic is not in the periodic table, aluminum is. And so aluminum, theoretically does not go away. Like you can just keep, it will always be aluminum, mm-hmm. right? It's never going to not be aluminum. And I'm like, right. I totally get that. But the implication is, the implication is that this can is mm-hmm. infinitely recyclable. And right. that can, as it's constructed, is not infinitely recyclable. That's my problem, right? Yep. Honestly, if something says this is 100% recyclable, I'm like, you can't even make that claim because you don't know where that's going to end up.
Right.
It may not be recyclable in that area. So saying that something is 100% recyclable still is probably a little bit misleading. Infinitely recyclable is like getting into metaphysics.
Yeah, but even with a can, it's not 100% recyclable, right? Because the aluminum part is what's being captured for recycling. The plastic's being melted off, so that's technically not being recycled.
Right. And there's going to be loss of aluminum. I mean,
of course, and that's where it gets kind of crazy. That's where it gets kind of iffy. Is that we're seeing these lawsuits happening. People are being super focused on semantics. And that's where, as a brand, you have to be really careful with what you're saying. And I'm not a lawyer, so you have to go find yourself a lawyer to talk through with some of these things. Don't count on your packaging supplier for this, because they're not in your area. They're not running your business. And you have to be the one that really kind of looks out for this. I'd say like other myths in sustainability, besides aluminum being infinitely recyclable, is, you know, that one product may be better than another. We're seeing, you know, a lot of this where, you know, this material is better than that material, but you shouldn't really be comparing material to material. It's really the application for your particular business. I don't know. What do you think about that, Adam, as we start wrapping up here?
Yeah. I mean, it's always going to be something that is going to be very particular to your brand. You know, I'm actually speaking about this, just a quick plug. If you're in Dallas for the eclipse and you're in packaging and I'm going to be speaking at the FSEA Foil and Specialty Embellishment Association conference on Wednesday, but I'm talking about this selling sustainability. Evelio didn't know that when he set up the topics, but it just kind of worked out. Mm-hmm. And that's the big point, is that you have, if you're involved in selling packaging, you really need to fall in love with your customers' products and problems, mm-hmm. not your own products. And when you do that, then you find yourself saying things like, I don't really know if our folding carton is going to be a good application for this. Here's a number of somebody who's working in stand-up pouches, you know, call Christine Barrington, who, you know, follows us here. You know, there's plenty of good people out there, and your product isn't going to be great for everybody. It's probably not going to be great for most people. And salespeople do contribute to greenwashing by over-promising and overselling their products, because they're trying to make a sale instead of really trying to be consultative and help people understand, because your customers are not packaging experts. And so we do play a role in it. Ultimately, it's their responsibility, like you said, but we do play a role in how we can educate and, you know, be sort of that trusted advisor. So,
no, 100%. No, 100%. I think just reminding the brands that it's their responsibility, right? Because they're trusting of a salesperson at the end of the day. And a salesperson's job is to sell. Not that they're all bad or they're all good. It's just, you do have to take that responsibility on yourself as a brand to vet, to your due diligence. Otherwise, you can get yourself into some of these issues. The last thing is like FSC certification. You know, would Adam, FSC certification, is that something that is a must if you're looking for sustainable packaging?
No. I mean, it's not bad. It's not, it's just a certification, right? SFI is another certification. Yeah. So if it's something that you want to be able to report on, then yeah, have the certification. But I've said this 1,000 times. Nobody is more financially connected to reforestation than the people who are relying on forests to make their products. So, they will literally go out of business if they are not planting forests and making more and better trees that can make better paper. There's an actual financial incentive there. And so I don't know, there's companies like Print Relief that are doing some cool stuff where mm-hmm. they're not reforesting just for the sake of lumber. They're reforesting in natural habitats to increase mm-hmm. the, you know, the amount of trees that we have in non-forested areas. So there's cool things that are out there, but to me, if you want FSC certified paper, almost any folding carton company is going to be able to do that.
Cool. All right. And then what's your take on offsetting? Buying carbon offsets.
Oh goodness. It's the best viable solution for a lot of companies right now, but it's far, 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 far from perfect. Carbon accounting is a mess that I don't really understand. But I applaud company. I mean, Myers buys carbon offsets. And we are very open about the fact that it's our path towards 100% carbon neutral manufacturing. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to get there. And so that's part of our path, but we would like to not rely on that. So
yeah, it's not your only path.
No, no. Yeah. If anyone says like, this is what we do and it's 100% buying carbon offsets, then it's kind of like, eh. It's great. Yeah. It's okay. It's sort of like FSC, right? Like in my brain, it's like, it's okay. It's fine. Yeah. But there's a whole world of people that would disagree on carbon offsetting, you know, buying off the market and where are they buying from? And I don't know. It's an argument that I'm not educated enough to make.
Yeah. I'm definitely, you know, not a huge fan of brands that are out there focusing on carbon offsets as their main way to reduce their carbon emissions. Because that just allows you to make whatever you want, you know, create as much waste as you want, and then you can just like buy your way out of it.
Yeah.
You're not helping. I know when we've had like forest fires in California, some of those forests were some of those carbon capture forests that have been replanted. All that carbon's released, but you still as a brand, even though if there's like no trees left, you're still getting credit for that, which doesn't make any sense, right? Because you're no longer offsetting, it's gone, but you're still getting credit. So again, things that you've got to look at, things that you have to vet, ask questions. Like I said, if you've got any questions on your own packaging, you can reach out to us, Corey as well, who's on assignment. You know, he's got the Packaging Today helicopter out there.
Look for him up in the sky. By the way, I just noticed that
don't look up in the sun. Don't look up at the sun. You're not allowed.
Don't do that. Yeah. But I just noticed that the shadows from my glasses frames make it look like I'm crying tears. Or that I have like tattoos.
I thought you were crying. I thought you were like silver. What is it? Silver Eyes Cody? What was his name? The guy that would have one tear when he was talking about pollution and waste in the old school commercials.
Oh,
Iron Eyes Cody.
I can't muster it. I can't do it. Like I'm capable of crying.
All right, we're wrapping up the show. Questions. Put them in the comments. Do me a favor. If you're watching this on YouTube or anywhere else, subscribe, reach out to us. Looking forward to it. Don't look at the sun. See ya.
Nope.
Live from Studio 3, this is Packaging Today with Evelio Matos, Adam Peel, and Corey Cotter.
Modern consumers want modern buying experiences, and they don't just want them, they expect them. Beyond killer on-site buying experiences, consumers expect seamless experiences from checkout to delivery. And when things go wrong, and they do a lot, we know this in the packaging industry, they expect the brand to make it right and make it right quickly. In fact, 89% of consumers say they stop buying from a brand after just one bad buying experience. That's where Label comes in. Label Protect is a brand-first, buyer-focused protection solution that's uniquely designed to make shipping issues a thing of the past. Instead of leaving your buying experience to chance, you can give your customers peace of mind at checkout knowing their orders are 100% covered from loss, theft, damage, and more. And with a 98% claim approval rate, 24-hour resolution time, and best-in-class revenue share, Label reduces customer support overhead, protects your bottom line, increases profits, and most importantly, Label keeps your customers coming back for more. Whether you ship 100 orders a month or 100,000, it's time to make the final mile part of your competitive advantage with Label. You can learn more by clicking the link in the show notes or going to labelpx.com. labelpx.com. That's labelpx.com. Hey, congrats. You made it to the end of the podcast. If you're looking for more great podcast material in the packaging industry, please check out Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors and the newly redesigned Package Unboxed with Avelio Matos. Go find them wherever you listened to this podcast. Thanks, everybody.